So our small groups have been working with the sermons to talk about how do we get Jesus' living water flowing through us? How do we have new life, not just to get over a problem, but have it flowing out of us into other people? And so each week we get to hear some of how the small groups have been putting that into practice. So today I wanted to invite Kathy, who's coming right up, and Heather, one of Kathy's small group members, to share a little bit about what happened in their group last week.
Small groups are a blessing, and Heather has been a real blessing to me in joining our Wednesday night small group. And she had a very real, practical experience of applying our lesson to open the way for the living water to flow and then to fill the space when we open the way. So I ask her to share that with us today.
I'm going to try to go slow. Y'all were worshiping great. You got me wound up. A couple weeks ago, Jake was talking about hindrances to our relationship with Jesus and sin. And sin is sometimes easier to see because it's obvious, you know, like adultery, lying, cheating. It's sin. The hindrances are where it gets sticky because there's things that are not necessarily sin on their face, but if they get in there and block the flow, he had a picture of a pipe with a bunch of roots. And the thing is, it's not one giant root that blocks it all at once. It's little teeny tiny roots that kind of sneak in through cracks and sneak in through seals that aren't quite sealed. And after you get like 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, then they kind of join together and twist up, and that's what blocks the flow. So I was looking at my life at things that maybe aren't necessarily awful, but that keep me from Jesus. And Netflix was what God really laid on my heart. I've never had cable because I didn't want to pay hundreds of dollars to have people pump junk into my house, but Netflix is just cable light. It's $10 a month, but it's still garbage. So I shut it off. And when I shut it off, the Netflix thing said, well, you've already paid through this date, so if you want to keep watching. So I typed in a Word document just a bunch of random characters, cut it, pasted it into the password. So the password was changed, and I couldn't give in to that temptation to go back and watch Netflix, because sometimes I have time for my Bible study and time for Jesus, but by golly, I can sit down on a Saturday and start watching Netflix, and before I know it, 4 hours has gone by. And that is a hindrance to the flow of Jesus in your life. And then the next Sunday, he talked about if there's a demon in a man, he gets the demon out or the sin out and cleans up his life, but he doesn't fill it with something else, that thing comes back and brings seven friends with it. And so once I took Netflix out of my life and I had all this spare time because I wasn't watching television, I had to fill that time with something good. So I started reading my Bible, getting into my devotion, spending time in prayer, praying over my kids. And a very real thing in my life was that I was trying to fill my time with Jesus. My son, who also didn't get Netflix because I turned it off in the house, spent his time being angry about not having Netflix and being angry about how I was controlling him. And so you can, it's such an obvious difference when you fill that time with something good and then, you know, you have peace and blessing and then the difference between when you fill it with bitterness and anger. So.
Thank you, Heather.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. And yeah. So I love Heather's story there because it gets so practical. And it's not that we're trying to get every single person here to quit Netflix necessarily, but what we are trying to get every single person to do is to take a real look at your life and say, I want more of God in my life. How do I get there? And for Heather, it was specifically, it was do this thing, and she did it. And when she chose, like, I want to do this to get more of God, then it was life-giving. Whereas with somebody else in her family, they didn't want to do it. It didn't do anything good for them because it was just a burden on them. But when you make a choice, I'm going to change something in my life because I want more Jesus, then it can fill you up. So we're going to continue talking today about what happens as God fills you up. And today we're going to be talking about joy. The Bible tells us the joy of the Lord can be our strength. But a lot of us don't have joy as a keystone in our life. You know, there's a lot of days we're not full of joy. And we're going to start in a very real place, though, okay? Have you guys ever read something in the Bible And he's like I don't buy that. Like that's not for me. I'm not going to make you guys raise your hands because we're in church. You guys are like, I don't want to say that. But sometimes you read the Bible and you think, that's too good, or that's for some other superhero. That doesn't touch my life. And so somebody in this room was talking to me this week, and they're going to get quoted, so sorry. So they said this about, they're reading in Philippians. They said, not only did I think Paul was a bit dumb and blithering, but I thought he was lying. So this lady was reading, and she said this. She said, like, I'm reading this thing, and, like, he's dumb, he's a blithering idiot, and, like, I don't even think it's true. I think he's trying to manipulate. So I'm going to actually invite that lady to come up on stage. She gave me permission to share this quote, so it's not totally out of the blue. Before I get there, though, I forgot to announce this in first service. So Wednesday night is obviously Independence Day, and so we're not going to have our regular scheduled small groups, but if you want to do your own small group, all you really need is a few other people who want to talk about Jesus. And so we've got these little forms here that will guide you through doing your own small group. And you don't even have to go through a list of, like, what do they believe about Jesus. Just say, like, hey, do you want to talk about Jesus with me? And just see where that takes you in the conversation, okay? So grab one of those forms on your way out. It's got a challenge for you guys to do together. But without further ado, the person that talked so negatively about Paul was Rixie Adams. So, Rixie, if you will come up. And so I want to... Oh, got two mics here. So as Rixie's coming up, I want to encourage you guys to really pay attention to this because Rixie's about to give you a gift. So one of my favorite authors, he says, it's only with things that have touched my heart that I can touch your heart. Like it's only when I really open up that I can really impact you. What Rixie's about to share, it's hard to share. Don't waste what she's about to share. Like, let it hit home with you. And even if you've not been the exact same position, I bet you've struggled with the same general stuff. So put it into your heart as she shares, because it's not easy to share in a real way. So you're reading a passage in Philippians. I'm going to read it to everyone to kind of get where you're coming from here about Paul being over the top. So it's in Philippians chapter 4, if you want to turn there. So here was the line that really got Rixie going. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That idea, it's easy to read it. There's some children's songs that fit this and stuff like that. A lot of us have gone through horrible times in our life, and we feel like this is just impossible. And when Rixie read this, that's how she felt. She felt like, you don't know what I'm going through. There's no way to have some sort of praise for God in the middle of this problem. So it goes on a little further. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. A lot of us feel like if you knew what was going on in my life, you wouldn't be able to say God's near. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Again, think like, have you ever been in a spot where you're so worried and stressed, but the last thing you're going to do is ask God for help? And especially you're not going to thank him for something in the middle of asking him for help. But there's a promise here in verse 7. It says, if you do those things, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then we jump down a few more verses. Paul goes on further. What is this reality about? He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul's a guy who got beat up a lot. Paul's a guy who got unjustly imprisoned. Paul's a guy who really did go without food, really didn't have basic necessities at times. And he said, I learned the secret to no matter if I had a bunch of stuff or no stuff, no matter if my life was good on the outside or terrible, I learned the secret to contentment. And here's a real famous verse coming up. It gets kind of twisted a little bit by a lot of people. So verse 12 is important because this is what he says. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And sometimes people will translate this as I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength, but this is a really a better translation because what he's talking about here is not oh, Jake Taylor can go be a linebacker for the Chiefs or something because Jesus is going to give me strength. Like, it's not just like make up your own selfish dream and put a Jesus sticker on it and claim this verse. This idea of that no matter what you face, you can face it with that sort of attitude that Paul had through Jesus. Like, no matter what's happening on the outside, you can have peace on the inside through Jesus. So that's what this verse is talking about. Sounds really good. Coming out of a preacher's mouth on a Sunday, it sounds like, yeah, sure, getting some head nods. Some of you, if you were as honest as Rixie's about to be, though, wouldn't feel like this is true in the dark alleys of your life, like that this stuff is real. So without further ado, you were reading Jesus Calling. It was talking about this passage, and you wrote in the margins of like, I don't buy it, you know, sort of thing. Like, so tell us about where you were at in 2012. Why did you say, like, this isn't real?
First of all, I'm going to embarrass Jake, but Jake didn't know what blithering was. That's an old word. Blithering is what you really don't know what you're talking about, and yet you keep talking, okay? So Paul, to me, was blithering, but here's why. In 2012, my life changed totally, and you all know that. I lost Ed. Ed died.
Ed was your husband how many years, Rixie?
50 years and 5 weeks. We were down at the lake having a good time, and 96 hours later, he died. Lots of decisions. But I didn't start reading Jesus is Calling, and I've got my Jesus is Calling book, so anybody want to see it, you can see it, until 2013, when my middle daughter had the nerve to tell me I should pray. I didn't want to pray. And then I started reading Jesus is Calling. And you can see it in my handwriting. The first thing it said was, this is lying. This is lying. You cannot possibly, in your humanness, thank God for my husband dying. That's dumb. I'm not going to do that. I'm lying.
I'm going to pause you there. I'm going to pause Rixie throughout to just highlight stuff she's saying. So sometimes people try to put a fake happy on top of their bad. And that Rixie doesn't do that. As you're looking at the journey she goes on, it's important to see, like, right out of the gate, she's hitting honestly with God, at least, of, I don't believe this. I don't believe what you're saying.
But I was putting on a good face here because everybody was telling me I was wonderful and I was doing good. I'm not wonderful. The circumstances, and you know, I hadn't thought of that. Thank you, Jake. I was being honest with God. It's probably the first time in my life I challenged him. But I put down what my circumstances were, and this is why I believed Paul was blithering and lying, bottom line. He could not know my circumstances. He was just a man in the Bible, and I had never saw him as real. How many of you see Paul as a real man? He's just not a good story. But he was wrong. My circumstances went, and by the way, one of them is still that way. And Wayne Bandy said, in a perfect world, Ed would be resurrected. Ed's still dead. And I still miss him. And it's okay. Then I realized grief, fear, worry had just taken me over. I began to sleep with a screwdriver. I had never been alone before. So I had a screwdriver and a hammer in my bed.
And just to highlight a little bit of Rixie's story. So Rixie always had a very protective, good dad. And she went right out of, you know, being in her dad's house to being married to Ed. And then here, real close to each other, Ed and her dad both died. And so these men that had protected her whole life and sheltered her were both gone.
Yes. And I kind of was, I knew they were in heaven, but I was just irritated. What about me? And then Paul kept saying all these things. Well, then, here is what a lot of you don't know. Ed and I were not good financially. I've told some of you that. We were terrible. So then I realized my income was cut in half. I also realized that we had taken out, on a 70-some thousand house, we had taken out over $100,000+ loan on it. My payments were $780 a month, and I couldn't make them. I didn't want to tell anybody about them, because after all, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have done this, so I'll hide it. I hid it well.
So, again, think about your own heart. If you've ever been stuck in a situation and scared, but also ashamed, and so you covered it up from other people, and you just covered it up and covered it up. Tell us how that kept going.
I used to sneak over to the other house and pull the foreclosure notices off of its doors. I'd go in and make sure there was no papers in the house that anybody could know it was being foreclosed. I did see a lawyer. We tried to quick sale it. Bank didn't want it. I tried to sign over the mortgage. Bank didn't want it. So I had to face the fact that I had to stop making payments. Now, that's stealing. Everybody knows it. I never let myself think of me as a thief. But I was. The foreclosure, I can't tell you. And that hasn't changed, by the way. The house was foreclosed. The shame and the fear. I mean, you don't know how it is to come on and put on your Sally Sunshine face, lead groups, and then know in your heart that you're in the toilet. I had the house. Linda Bandy saw me in a terrible wreck. She thought I was dead. Circumstances kept mounting. Ed's died. The house is gone. Paul couldn't have known that. That's why he was a liar.
And so, yeah, this car wreck, like you mentioned, also happened. And, I mean, at one point, you're paying people to mow the grass at this foreclosed house to try to keep appearances up to your neighbors.
The grass, the utilities, everything. And when the neighbors would ask, I'd lie. And I don't say that with pride. I'm sorry if you think that. But to save my pride, I'd tell them, well, the house is going to be sold. It's going to be sold. I just don't know when. And that it wasn't going to be sold. It was sold on the courthouse steps. And I never thought I'd go through that, by the way. It wasn't published in the Examiner. But people began to suspect, and I began to lie.
So that's why I was telling you guys, I want you to really open up to what Rixie has given us today. Like the vulnerability of this is what I did. This is what I did wrong and why I did it. This is what was going on in my heart, how fear and greed and shame were pushing me to do things I didn't think I would do, things I'm more ashamed of now that I'm doing those things to cover up these other things. And so it becomes this mountain of junk, a bunch of sin mixing in there. And it starts to feel hopeless. A lot of you, again, whether you've had issues with mortgages or not, maybe you've had this grief and fear and shame leads you into this just thing that's bigger that you can't overcome on your own. So, Rixie, the story doesn't end there. So tell us about how things changed. Like, how did you get to the spot where today you can come up and share this sort of stuff?
I didn't have an aha moment. But, and I'm not going to look at her because I will cry. Linda Bandy began to encourage me. She would say, Rixie, you're changing. And I thought at first it was negative. Wayne and Linda Bandy have become such mentors. Linda loved me just as I was. And she has been the one that started me trying to see a difference in Rixie. It became gradual. Can I tell them about the larger?
You've got the mic, Rixie. You go for it.
If I do, well, Kathy wanted me to teach a small group. Wayne also wanted me to teach a small group. I can do all things, no matter what I was going through at that time. And they didn't know any of this, by the way. I was Sally Sunshine. And so I said, yes, I'd teach a group. I was going to teach Matthew. And I came in one night, and I'm still living in my circumstances. I'm going to drop my Bible, and we don't want to do that. I got it. And two people showed up to my group that night. Two. Now, I know you all know the mark of a good teacher is how many they have. I had prepared, and I was done. And I went to Wayne, and I said, Wayne, I'm done. And being Wayne, he didn't say a whole lot more. He said, oh, it's Rixie. But I was done. I don't know how I knew that God reached down, and that was the moment. That was the moment. God said, you will continue Matthew. No, I won't. He said, you will continue Matthew, teaching Matthew. I don't care who's there. I don't care if nobody's there. It's about you being obedient to me.
So I don't want you to miss out on that right there. So a lot of what was powering this stuff in Rixie's life, part of it was just the sorrow of life on earth and death and things like that. But another piece of it was the power of shame in Rixie's life and pride. And when she got to a spot where God put a command in her life to take a contrary action to that pride and that shame, when she said, yeah, okay, I will do the thing that I don't want to do because God's telling me to do it, that's when things really take off for Rixie. And if you're here today and you think, I'm under this mountain of stuff that I could never get over, Rixie didn't fix all of her issues instantly, but she did obey Jesus in doing something she didn't want to do. She did it just because he told her to do it. And when I hear success stories of people that last, they have these moments where they obey Jesus even when they don't want to obey Jesus.
It's so important that you know my circumstances did not change. I'm still a very poor money manager. Ed's still dead. And I finally have set myself free to miss him. In my mind, Christians didn't miss the ones that died. That would be sacrilege, and I couldn't do that. But you know what? He was worth the pain. The house did get foreclosed. Nothing got put out on the driveway. That's what I was the most afraid of. You've seen it yourselves. And a wonderful bunch of women, Dawn, Amanda, Linda, came over and helped me pack that house so they could give me peace. Now, in one of the bags, and this is kind of funny, I found a bag of open potato chips. These women were thorough when they came to my house. But my circumstances didn't change. But God said to me, and he said, but you need to change. You're not reading the word personally. You're not praying personally. You're not being Paul. One of the first verses I found, very first one, was on the sympathy cards. I put the sympathy cards away because I was determined I wasn't going to read them. The second year was the worst for me. The second year without Ed was the worst. On every religious card almost, there was Isaiah 41:10. So I finally read Isaiah 41:10, and it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. Surely I will help and strengthen you, and I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. You know, it became real. I read that differently even that day. I said, Rixie, do not worry. I'm with you. Rixie, don't anxiously look about, because I am your God. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous hand. Nowhere in that verse does it say I'll change your circumstances. Like Paul said, though, all of a sudden I learned the secret to true joy. There's a verse in Revelations, and I want to read you this verse because it became real to me. Those whom I love, I rebuke. I had to be disciplined for the life I had led. God gently led me to a path. So be earnest and repent. Here I am standing at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person, and they will with me. To the one who is victorious, I'll give the right to sit with me. I thought that verse was for the unsaved. He's going to knock, you're going to say yes, and you're going to let him in. No. I finally saw a picture that here's this garden door in total weeds. Total weeds. And it's ugly. It was like the weeds in me. It was ugly. And there's no handle on that door. Did you know that? There's no handle on the outside. Jesus wouldn't push me. He just gently said. And I finally opened the door, and he pulled out the weeds. I don't think God wanted me to have that house. And I just figured this out because I was going back in time. It was bankrupt. I mean, it was foreclosed on, and the shame was there, and all my neighbors knew. But my daddy had left me a house. I went through rehabbing it, and I hope I never have to go through rehabbing a house again. When you know nothing about nothing and people are asking you questions, trust me, all you do is get frustrated. But God said, this is where I want you to live, Rixie. I don't want the house on Union, and you're not obeying me. So he moved me into my daddy's house, and my daddy built that house. I'm very safe. The other thing, and I want you to hear this because, oh my gosh, it's important to me. I've been a Christian a long time, but I've never tithed. We gave, but since you don't manage money, you don't manage God's money either. Last June, I confessed to a bunch of wonderful women out there that I didn't tithe. I've tithed since last June. It was a matter of obedience and for letting God flow through me.
And so I love what Rixie has shared today. You think about all these things that were holding her back, that were pushing her down, and then you see how Jesus put her in spots where she could get victory over that same thing. Jesus pushed her in some painful ways where neighbors had to find things out. But he's also given her opportunities to do things like financial giving. It's the opposite of the financial mess that she was in before. If you're here today and you're saying, I feel weighed down and I want joy, but I can't seem to get it on my own. Rixie's biggest breakthrough, the stuff that she's written on that same page of Jesus calling, because she keeps reading it. So below that idea that Paul is blithering, there's this idea that I can praise God even in Ed's death, because God was always with me. This personal connection that she has now with Jesus has so changed her that she can rejoice wherever she's at. If you want to go on that sort of journey, you have to do the sort of things that Rixie did. And Rixie was so afraid to be honest here at Maywood, and maybe you're afraid to be honest here. We don't want to be that sort of place. Did you hear about what the Bandys did to Rixie? Like, Rixie had some problems. The Bandys came alongside her and pushed her in an encouraging way to change. So I want to pray a blessing over us, over those of you who want to be honest, okay? So if you're here today, I want to pray a blessing on you. Jesus, I pray for everybody here who's ready to show the real them. And I pray you would bless them with people here at Maywood who won't co-sign on their sin, but people who will encourage and love so that we can change, so that we can look like you. I pray for victories over fear, victories over sorrow, victories over pride. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.